So when we got here, he started going to synagogue, and when I joined him, I started going to synagogue with him, even though, you know, not being Jewish. But I love religions and had always been fascinated with Judaism. And so not long after we started going to synagogue together, not long after I got here, Matt started studying Hebrew with Leslie Morris, who he met okay. through our congregation. And her husband, Mike, also wanted to study Hebrew, but he wasn't as far along as Mike and Leslie were. So we just decided to get together as two couples, and we met Mike and Leslie, obviously, through Beth Israel. And so once a week, we would go over to their house, or they would come over to our house, and Mike and I would work through this textbook at our level, and mm-hmm. he and Leslie would work through the Hebrew textbook at their level, and we became very good friends with this older couple. You know, they now have grandchildren, and our daughter is just 14. So it was an intergenerational mm-hmm. friendship through Beth Israel. And also through this time, that's one thing that I think religious congregations are so important to provide you, that intergenerational mm-hmm. Context and friendship. And I also really happen to like old people a lot. And so I made friends with one of our oldest congregants who was, even then, I think it was Miriam Sampson in her 90s. No, she must. She's just now.
She just turned 100, so she must have been mid-80s.
Mid-80s. And Miriam and I used to sit together in synagogue. And I happen to be a professional singer. And so she would lean over and tell me, "You should be up on the Bema leading services. You have such a beautiful voice."
And although she probably said it a lot louder, yeah, so that everyone
did.
Could hear it.
Oh, she kind of talked like that. Oh, Caroline. Anyway, she's a wonderful lady. She said, "You should be up on the beam." And I said, "Well, I'm not Jewish." And she said, in her typical fashion, "Why not?" And by that time, I had been studying Hebrew. I had been a part of the congregation enough to where people was assuming I was Jewish. And so that question really, really shifted something in my mind. And also Matt and I were considering starting a family, and we had already agreed that we would raise kids Jewish. So that was, and we had made friends in the congregation. We still didn't know you guys too much yet
Probably not by then.
But it was so wonderful to be a part of a congregation. First of all, when I was converting, you know, mm-hmm. I had the support of the congregation, and our Rabbi Dobberson is a wonderful person and really was probably one of the main reasons why I wanted to convert. I just, you know, to see his mm-hmm. Jewish example and mm-hmm. and to be a part of this community that I felt so at home in. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I remember when you were pregnant with Chava and, you know, she was born, and then Steve and Rachel with Sigal were, uh-huh. you know, was right around that time. And then Zachary came along a few months later, and that really created that community around here mm-hmm. because it's
in fact, there were so many people pregnant at one time that all sat in the same section. Mm-hmm. We called it the Fertile Crescent.
Oh, that's interesting, because there was a group that used to sit, and this was out where you sit off on the, uh-huh. the side. There was a group that sat back near where we were that just seemed to have a whole bunch of children, and they were all raising each other's children, and we really didn't know which child belonged to who, so we used to call that area the commune. And there were, we were a fertile congregation for a time.
For me, I feel like it's so important to know where your spiritual home is and where your mm-hmm. community is. I like it. I had this realization one time when Chava was little, and she was, I guess she was around 6 or 7. She was old enough to be able to go off in services and then go off on her own and come back. And I had the realization, you know, because just like in every congregation, whether it's a church or a synagogue, people tend to have the places where they always sit. Mm-hmm. And I realized that Chava could go off on her own because she knew where to come back to. Mm-hmm. She knew where we were sitting. And that, to me, is what a synagogue community means. Right. Mm-hmm. You know where you're sitting, and it gives you the strength and the independence to go out and explore.
Mm-hmm. And we had a similar thing right around that age. You know, Zachary, we were in Kiddush after services, and Zachary, you know, disappeared. He wandered out, you know, somewhere. And I also had that sense that he would be fine because someone would find him if he needed to be helped and would know to be able to bring him to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that mm-hmm. it was home. He was,
right.
you know, that in a different part of the synagogue, it was just like being in a different part of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny you say that because I'm thinking about sort of time and the sacred times that we have and realizing mm-hmm. that, you know, for us, certainly in our group of friends, and then for, you know, countless other groups at the synagogue, just thinking about the routines we've gotten into over the years, like, you know,
yeah.
if it's the first day of Rosh Hashanah, where are we?
We are at each other's houses.
Right.
And,
you know.
And then rushing off to get to the service
right.
in time,
you know,
to get a good seat.
That's right. I mean, right. So, you know, the first night we're always at our house. The first afternoon of Rosh Hashanah, we're always at yours.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Break the fast at Steve and Michelle. You know, so
right.
this, you know, just
there's
thinking
this
about
rhythm.
This rhythm that, you know, if I'm at Steve and Michelle's, it
must be break fast.
We must be breaking the fast. If we're at Parrots and Laura's for a potluck, we must be starting the fast. And that's sort of...
Or that Shavuot at Parrots and Laura's.
Right, or the dairy extravaganza.
The dairy dessert extravaganza.
But there's this sort of that... And I have really come to value that rhythm that we have, you know, in a community of friends where we... You know, where we know that if it's the holidays, we're going to be getting together. And, you know, when I read so much stuff about young Jews unaffiliating or, you know, independent minyanim that are not connected to synagogues and, you know, all the challenges that synagogues are facing in this context. And I read it, I mean, from my perspective as a board member and, of course,
mm-hmm.
on, you know, disaffiliation, people joining independent minyanim and not joining brick-and-mortar synagogues is a challenge to the synagogue community. It's, hell, if nothing else, it's a challenge to our budget,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I think about that, and then I think about the fact that you can't create those communities out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having the synagogue here, knowing that when something good is happening, there's a place. The celebration has an address.
Mm-hmm.
When something bad is happening, knowing that, you know, you make one phone call to the rabbi and so much stuff is just put into motion,
mm-hmm.
you know, from a logistical standpoint, but also just from a caring standpoint.